Great to hear from our missions partners, Paul and Laura, and to be part of their ministry around the world. Now, as we continue our service sermon series, I'd like to thank everybody working with the graphics, tech, and video team. If Dave and I were in charge of that, the graphics and the live stream would have the look of a hostage video. So we're very thankful for y'all's service. And as we all seek to grow as servants this morning, let's come to God in prayer and ask for his help with that. God, we thank you that you are here, that you are with us. We welcome your presence. And we ask, God, that you would remove anything that's keeping us from being a loving servant here as well as in our world, whether that's around selfishness or fear, self-protection, desire for control, whatever it is, God, we pray that you would break away any barriers that are hindering us from loving you and loving one another, and serving is an expression of that. And so we ask that you would work through your word this morning to help us all to grow into the kind of servants together that you want us to be. We ask that you would do this, Jesus, to your glory, and it's in your wonderful name that we pray. Amen. So in the first chapters of Genesis, we see God and humans enjoying a loving unity and diversity. That Adam and Eve are different from each other, yet in their diversity, they enjoy intimacy together. They're knowing and loving and serving and trusting one another. They are naked and unashamed. And though Adam and Eve are different from God, they also enjoy a loving intimacy with God. That they walk in the garden together with him. And God provides abundantly. And Adam and Eve trust and serve and obey in response. It's all a wonderful, loving unity in diversity. And one of my seminary counseling professors, Dr. Gary Barnes, describes this as oneness not based in sameness. But then this amazing oneness is threatened as Satan, crafty Satan, invites Adam and Eve to wonder if God really loves them or if he's perhaps really actually holding out on them. And Adam and Eve believe that lie, and they choose life apart from God as they eat the forbidden fruit. And their loving unity and diversity, it unravels. Where Adam and Eve once enjoyed a intimate oneness, there is now painful separateness from God and from each other as they hide in fear. After they sin, Adam and Eve try to hide from God in the garden. And when found, rather than try to repair their oneness by repenting of their sins, Adam and Eve instead blame others for their actions. It's an unloving disunity. And Adam and Eve also begin hiding from each other. They cover their private parts, the places where they are most physically different from each other, and with which they are meant to enjoy a special intimacy as husband and wife. And then rather than serve each other in love as they did before, Adam and Eve now seek to control one another. And Adam and Eve, in all of it, they've lost that loving unity in diversity. They're no longer able to fully know and fully love each other. Their sin, it's caused brokenness inside themselves and with each other and with God as they now blame and hide and try to control. No more oneness not based in sameness. As Dr. Barnes goes on to explain, we continue their tragic story. We're born in sin as broken people in a broken world. And so we've got our own dysfunctions. I know I've got a lot. And then we're raised by dysfunctional parents who were raised by dysfunctional parents. And so there are gaps in all of our developments as we don't always experience being known and loved in the ways that we need as we grow up, even if our parents and caregivers are trying their best. And so our own dysfunctions plus childhood gaps plus everyone else's dysfunctions and childhood gaps means that we all sometimes bring to the table things like blaming, hiding, judging, prejudice, distrust, selfishness, fear, ignorance, lies, boasting, control issues, and more that all leads to unloving disunity. We all long for loving unity in diversity, but we and everyone around us just keep seem to sabotage those efforts in ways big and small. We just don't seem to have the maturity we need on our own to enjoy oneness not based in sameness. Now, the Apostle Paul, along with all the churches that he ministered to, they also experienced this struggle. Broken people in a broken world, desperate for what Adam and Eve once enjoyed, longing for loving unity and diversity, but lacking the maturity to live out this oneness not based in sameness. And so Paul shares in the book of Ephesians the good news of what Jesus has done and is doing to restore our loving unity and diversity. And so if you've got a Bible or Bible app, I invite you to open to the New Testament book of Ephesians chapter 4, or you can follow along with the verses on the screen. And if you're new to reading the Bible, the big numbers are chapter numbers and the little numbers are verse numbers. And Ephesians was written by Paul to some early Christian churches a few decades after Jesus rose from the dead. And chapters 1 through 3 of Ephesians show that Jesus came to restore oneness not based in sameness, our loving unity and diversity with God and with each other. And chapters 1 through 3 say that in Jesus we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. We've been forgiven of our sins and adopted as God's beloved children and given bold and confident access to God in prayer and provided opportunities to do good works in service to God. And in all of it, empowered by God's Spirit to deeply know and serve God in love. And so Jesus, he restores our loving unity and diversity with God. And Jesus is also restoring our loving unity and diversity with each other. And Ephesians chapters 1 through 3 talk about how Jesus is our peace, bringing Jews and Gentiles together into one new humanity, the church. And that we, the church, not only in our ethnic diversity like Jews and Gentiles, but in all our kinds of diversity, we, the church, are united as the one body of Jesus. We are reconciled to one another, and we share in his glorious inheritance together. And we are given God's Spirit to help us to embody our unity and diversity. The church is the place of oneness, not based in sameness. And so that's Ephesians chapters 1 through 3. And then starting in chapter 4, Paul urges us to live a life worthy of our calling, of our loving unity and diversity in Jesus. In verses 1 through 6 of chapter 4, Paul urges that we make every effort to keep our unity. Then in verses 7 through 10 of chapter 4, they share that Jesus has given us a diversity of spiritual gifts, a diversity for us to mature together. And so if we're going to mature together into loving unity and diversity, even with all our dysfunctions, it's going to take God working through all of us. And we see this starting in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 4. It says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service." So these verses show that Jesus has given some in the church gifts of leadership, shepherding, communicating God's truth, and that Jesus provides these leaders with foundational spiritual gifts so that they can help everyone in the church to be equipped to serve, as verse 12 says. And Jesus not only provides gifted leaders to serve the whole church, he also provides gifted leaders for specific ministries, who have opportunities to encourage and equip others to serve. Leaders like Miss Lisa, who leads the God and Me program for the kids during the Thursday Ladies Bible Study. Lisa has invited one of our church's awesome youth, Sadie, as well as my second grade daughter, Kate, to help Lisa serve the younger kids. And so now, each Thursday, as Kate and I leave the house, I say to Stephanie, "Bye, sweetie. Kate and I are going to do ministry at the church." And that opportunity is there because of Lisa's heart to encourage and equip the next generation to serve. May all our leaders here at Northwest have this heart. And in the middle of verse 12, Paul begins to share why it's important to have everybody in the church serving, no matter what your age. And it's as the middle of verse 12 says, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Here in verse 12, Paul describes the church using the metaphor of the body of Christ, which Pastor Dave helped us to understand last Sunday, that the physical body with its many parts designed to work together as one is a metaphor of Northwest's unity in diversity, of us being united without being uniform, of us expressing our oneness, not based in sameness. And so what's the goal of all the Next Steps ministry going on at Northwest? Well, a big one is to prepare all God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, as verse 12 says. And so we all serve until we all reach maturity in Jesus together, which verse 13 talks about. All serving until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Just as the physical body works right when every part is working, so Jesus' body matures as everybody serves. Notice that the maturing in verse 13, it starts with reaching unity. Paul talks a lot about unity in Ephesians. It makes sense because ongoing conflicts, divisions, disunity, they do not create the best environment for everyone's spiritual growth. Unity does. And so if we were to all mature together, we need unity. And as we all serve in unity, we grow in faith together, and we grow in knowledge of Jesus, and that leads to more faith. And this growth process, it leads, as the middle of verse 13 says, to becoming mature. The translation, become mature, in the middle of verse 13, is more literally translated, become a mature man, or become a mature person. And what's interesting to me is that Paul does not use the plural. Paul does not say that as we grow up, we become mature persons, plural. No, Paul says that we become a mature person, singular, maturing together as the one body of Jesus. As we serve and Jesus' body matures, we don't want to get just a little bit more mature. The goal is maturity all the way to the fullness of Jesus, as the end of verse 13 says. And we can only pursue the whole measure of Jesus' fullness if every single one of us is serving with our gifts, like Miss Lisa is doing in God and Me, inviting others to serve alongside her, seeing that Jesus' body matures as everybody serves. And there are dangers if we don't mature. And so Paul, that's why he's talking about how we've got to mature together in Jesus. Verse 14 explains about this, saying that as we mature, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. You know, biological babies are adorable, and they're wondrous image bearers, and they're also immature. Infants are worried about their own needs, not the needs of others. And babies, they lack steadiness. They're easily influenced by whatever's going on around them. And infants are also easily confused and deceived. And so likewise, spiritual babies can be prone to focusing on their own needs rather than on the needs of others and the church's unity. And spiritual babies can be influenced by whatever goes on around them, tossed back and forth by the waves. I had an experience this week at home where I was reminded that I have more spiritual babies still in me. And spiritual babies, they can also be more easily confused and deceived. They're vulnerable to every wind of false teaching and to deceitful schemes of crafty people. If you're new to faith in Jesus and you're a spiritual baby, we praise God for you. And as verse 13 talked about, your church family is here so that we can all grow in faith and knowledge in Jesus, which includes teaching God's word so that you're less vulnerable to deception. and also helping you to encourage our oneness not based in sameness as you serve and as you grow in Christ's likeness. But what if instead you've been a Christian for many years and you or I still see some spiritual baby? Well, then it's time to grow up. It's time to no longer only be served, but also to serve others. It's time to no longer use our words in careless, judgmental ways that encourage an unloving disunity here. And it's time we no longer know so little of the scriptures that we're easily deceived. You know, we talked about Genesis at the beginning, and Genesis chapter 3 starts with the words, "Now the serpent was more crafty." In the garden, crafty Satan schemed a lie that Adam and Eve then lived out, losing their oneness, not based in sameness, entering into an unloving disunity that plagues us to this day. And notice in verse 14 here how those scheming are described as cunning, deceitful, crafty. So Satan didn't stop working back in the garden. He's still crafty. Both inside and outside the church, he wants to deceive people into unloving disunity with God and with each other. And he's happy to use masks or vaccines or political news and talk radio or theological debates or social media, anything he can leverage towards unloving disunity. And if you're not yet part of Jesus' body in a consistent, ongoing kind of way, then you're more vulnerable to Satan's divisive schemes. And if we don't have everybody serving, then we're all more vulnerable to Satan, since Jesus' body matures as everybody serves. And I find it interesting that infants here in verse 14 is plural. It's not one infant, it's infants. Plural. So when we're mature, we're like separate infants. But in contrast, as we mature, as verse 13 says, we become a mature person, singular, maturing together as one, where the best version of each of us is only found connected in the us, the body of Jesus. And so let's continue to mature together as we embody truth and love, which verse 15 talks about being important. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. In contrast to those who deceive with their words and behavior in verse 14, we instead are to embody truth in love. And as we do, we will all become, in every respect, the mature body of Jesus. And so Jesus helps us to mature as the head, giving us gifts, connecting us, and helping us to grow. And an important part of our maturity together is speaking the truth in love, as verse 15 says. Relationships of truth and love are essential to us maturing together. You know, if I speak truth without love, that truth probably won't win the day. You know, have you ever been persuaded to change your mind by a social media post or a conversation where the other person was clearly talking down to you? Or persuaded when the other person was spewing out truth as a form of personal therapy, just wanting to get something off their chest without any regard to how it's impacting you? Is that how we change? If we speak the truth without love, speaking insensitively and making it about ourselves rather than about serving the other person, it hinders the other person from having ears to hear that truth. It might even drive them further away from the truth and away from the kind of relationships that we need to help each other together to mature in Jesus. And on the other hand, a relationship of love without helpful truth is not really loving. If you or I aren't willing to share a truth that could help someone to grow spiritually here because we don't want to feel anxiety before we share it, or because we don't want to feel negative emotions afterwards if it goes poorly. Is that loving? Now, I'm not suggesting it's always the right time to share truth. You know, sometimes we're too worked up to share the truth in love. And sometimes it's according to the need of the moment to instead just to listen, to understand, to empathize. And sometimes we should protect ourselves from someone who is unsafe in what we say or don't say. But when it is the right time to share truth, let's speak it in loving ways, with a heart to help the other person to grow, with a heart to cultivate our loving unity in diversity. And as we grow up together, we must love not only in our speech, but also in our service, as we see in verse 16. Verse 16 says, "From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Verse 16 starts by reminding us that Jesus is the source of our growth. He joins and holds together his body. And as we're connected with him and with each other, the body grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We start every welcome class here at Northwest reading verses 15 and 16 here in Ephesians 4. And it's because we need everybody speaking and serving in love if we are to really grow, including those who are newer to our church family. Every single part of Jesus' body at Northwest functioning correctly in love to experience this mature oneness, not based in sameness, in Jesus together. And so if you've ever thought, it doesn't really matter if I come to church this morning, you're mistaken about that. God's word declares here that Jesus' body matures as everybody lovingly serves. And your service isn't limited only to formal roles like a deacon or children's ministry volunteer, as important as those roles are, they're essential. But it's also as the parts of the body informally connect and share what Jesus has given each of us to build others up. And so if you or I am struggling to experience God's forgiveness directly, members of this body can bring us forgiveness. And through that, ministry to us, helping us to experience Jesus's forgiveness. If we're going to grow into the fullness of Jesus together, it's going to take all of us bringing everything Jesus has given us. Further, as Christ's body, we're also called to represent him to the world. We're to love all our neighbors and share the good news and serve the vulnerable and display the beauty of oneness not based in sameness with God and with each other. And to do and be all that God has for us, we need all of you speaking and serving in love. We need the giftings and talents and passions and intelligence and yearnings, all of the good things that God has placed in you. If you're here in person or if you happen to be streaming with others, I invite you to look at the people around you right now, even if it's a little bit awkward. Here around you is God's plan to mature his body and to represent himself to the whole world. And you play an important part in that. So we've seen this morning that Jesus came to live for us and to die for our sins, to restore our loving unity and diversity. And if you don't yet identify as a follower of Jesus, he invites you now to place your trust in him, to begin a relationship with him and his body of oneness not based in sameness, trusting that he died for your sins for this. And then as we are all gifted and empowered by Jesus, together we grow into maturity as everybody speaks and serves in love. Jesus' body matures when everybody lovingly serves. And so that's our next step this morning. It's to speak and serve in love. That's our application, to speak and serve in love. And if you're not sure where to start with that, you can check out our website, nwchurch.org/serve, to get some ideas and to connect with specific ministry leaders about serving. And also, I would ask that you would please not leave the service right afterwards, that you would instead stick around for a bit and connect and be part of the body relationships that we all need. And if you are one of the many needed servants here at Northwest already speaking and serving in love, I thank you. We thank you. So I think deep down, we all want these kinds of relationships these verses describe. Relationships where we're all closely connected to Jesus, taking what he's giving us and passing it along to other parts of the body, where we all are growing together, and that where I am weak, others are strong and have gifts that can help fill my lack and help us to all grow into maturity together. Relationships where we all realize that it's not about me trying to grow as an individual, that it's about us growing together as Jesus's body. And so contending for each other's growth and taking care of each other as we travel to maturity in Jesus all together. These truth and love kind of relationships where we steward our words to bless others. When we're all willing to put ourselves out there in love to share a truth that helps someone else to grow. Through that, helping us all to have a better future together. And when we fall short of any of that, relationships where we also apologize and forgive because we know of God's perfect love and forgiveness. Relationships where everyone feels our oneness not based in sameness with God and each other. A return to what God intended for our relationships from the very beginning. Relationships that reflect something of the oneness not based in sameness, even in God himself, as Father, Son, and Spirit. And we'll enjoy this oneness not based in sameness to the extent that everyone speaks and serves in love. And I praise God that so many of you are speaking and serving in love, helping us to maturity together. And if you're not yet really a part of that, I invite you to step out of the isolation that feels safe. I invite you to step away from a non-committal life of personal autonomy that feels convenient. And take the risk of connecting with Jesus' body here at Northwest, trusting that he's brought us together, not to make us something less, but to make us something more together in him. Loving unity and diversity, oneness not based in sameness, with him and with each other, that's the hope of the world. Amen? All right, let's ask for God's help in living it out. God, we confess that we have fallen short in many ways of living out this kind of oneness not based in sameness as a church family. And so we thank you for Jesus' blood that covers all of our sins. And we ask that you would give us help now on this new day and a new start, that even right after this service, we would connect with one another in love, seek to serve one another in love, grow in helping each other to grow, contending for each other's spiritual growth. And God, we pray that you would help all who are streaming this morning to whatever they're comfortable with in the season, figure out the ways that they can connect in the body and mature and help others to mature and to stay connected in the ways that are possible. And God, we ask that you would, again, remove anything that's hindering us from this in our lives, in our hearts, whether that's, again, wanting the convenience of always controlling our schedule or a fear about putting ourselves out there, whatever things might be holding us back from fully walking in oneness not based in sameness. We pray you would help us to get through those barriers through your power, and that as all of us serve and speak in love more and more, that we all find great joy and blessing in that, and that we represent you well to the world around us. And so we pray you would do all these things and more according to your Spirit's power for your glory. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Go in peace to speak and serve in love.